Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei says that the Islamic Republic will return to its nuclear commitments only if the U.S. lifts all the sanctions first. Iraqis at ease hold a mass burial ceremonies for their loved ones killed by Daesh terrorists in the northern town of Sinjar 7 years ago. People in Myanmar's largest city, Yangon, stage a protest for the second consecutive day to denounce the recent military coup. Good to have you with us. Beginning with some comments by leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei says that Tehran would return to full compliance with the 2015 nuclear deal only if the United States lifts all the sanctions first. Ayatollah Khamenei says that the U.S. and the European signatories have violated their commitments under the deal known as the JCPOA. Therefore, he added that the U.S. and Europe have no right to set any conditions regarding the accord. The leader stressed that Iran has fulfilled all its obligations and has the right to set conditions as regards the JCPOA. Iran's leader made those comments in meeting with Air Force personnel. From Beirut, I'm now joined by Karim Sharara, who is a political analyst. Good to have you with us. Mr. Sharara, how do you look at this, the developments as regards the Iran nuclear deal known as the JCPOA?
First of all, I'm a big fan of the messages used by Ayatollah Khamenei in his many speeches. Now, if you look at the banner above him, it reads a hadith from Nahj al-Balagha, which says, basically, if you roughly translate it into English, it says that perhaps the enemy has made overtures of friendliness so as to take you by surprise, so as to make a fool of you. So be vigilant. And that sends a really strong message to those inside Iran and outside. I mean, it says basically all there is to say. The U.S. is currently making overtures of friendliness to Iran, saying, well, we need to get back on the table. The Trump era is over. Well, no, it's not over because both Democrats and Republicans have oppressed Iran, have sanctioned Iran, have made Iranians miserable with their actions, have made Iranian lives inside Iran very difficult. So of course there won't be any negotiations until the sanctions are lifted. Because look, people are betting that now that Biden is back, that there may be negotiations in the future, that Iran will have to be pragmatic about all this. Well, what's left of the JCPOA that it would have Iran be pragmatic about all of this? Iran has fulfilled everything that it's been forced to do under the JCPOA, whereas it's had little to show for it. The United States, on the other hand, has, if Iran got anything out of the JCPOA, it got the worst of it under the sanctions. And the Europeans, on the other hand, have done nothing whatsoever either to force the Americans back into the JCPOA or to prove their independence and show any friendliness towards Iran or show their own initiative in order to fulfill their obligations under the agreement.
And Mr. Sharara, what do you expect the Biden administration to do as regards the nuclear deal?
Well, of course, the Biden administration will make overtures of friendliness, as stated, towards Iran, saying that making promises, of course, that they will lift the sanctions eventually. I'm sorry, it's not lift, because the leader was, I mean, he was really careful about the words he chose. It wasn't lift, it was cancel, it was remove the sanctions. So they won't go back to the mistake of the JCPOA, where the sanctions were lifted. The Iranians expect the sanctions to be removed. Of course, the Biden administration will make promises of lifting the sanctions eventually, provided that Iran will show willingness to make a deal, including its ballistic missiles program. Because of course, they won't they the Americans will not go back to the JCPOA as a nuclear deal. They want to expand it to include the ballistic missiles program as well. And this is something that Iran will not go for.
Well, yeah, definitely, because JCPOA was a nuclear deal and nothing was conducted accordingly. So why should Iran trust and have any negotiation on any other thing? Thank you for that, Kerem Shaira, political analyst who joined me from Beirut. Now, Iranian medical experts have started a clinical trial of a Neder indigenously developed coronavirus vaccine. Covaparse is an inhalable vaccine developed using biotechnology. The tests have already been conducted successfully in animals, including guinea pigs, hamsters, and monkeys. The Covaparse has been developed by Razi Institute, a major medical research center in West Asia. The launch of the human trial was announced in a ceremony in Tehran attended by both experts and officials. Addressing the gathering, Health Minister Saeed Namaki said that the achievement is a source of national pride.
One of the major jobs done over the past few months was to rely on domestically developed technology to produce a vaccine. The COVID-19 vaccine is not a simple one to develop, as the virus, as the COVID-19 virus is a complex one. Producing a vaccine for it is a very complex process.
The health minister said it's not clear how effective the vaccines developed by different countries are, but they are the only way available to help contain the disease. Iran has developed another COVID vaccine called Coviran, which is under the first human trial phase. Volunteers who received the shot have had no symptoms such as shock or fever after the inoculation. Masoud Soleimani is a vaccine trials expert at the Iran University of Medical Sciences. He has provided us with some detail regarding the development process of the new Iran-made coronavirus vaccine.
So they created the vaccine about in March last year, end of February, March last year. And then from March, they started the animal testing first on mouse and hamster and rabbit, and then by almost end of May, start of June, they started testing it on monkeys. The green African monkey, which is very close to human race, they started testing on that monkey. And since then until now, we have about 10 months of data. Which shows that this vaccine is safe, created no harm on these 23 monkeys that right now they are alive and well. And also they have created a long-standing immune response, which what we need in an effective vaccine. Today, we had basically announcement of the start of the human phase of this vaccine. One of the innovations in this vaccine is that it consists of another third dose. The first dose is when you is in the form of inoculation. So the second, it comes about 3 weeks after the first dose. Again, it's an injection. And then it comes a month later, comes the nasal spray, which is an innovation, as I said, in this vaccine, because we have studies that shows that if the nasal IgA immune response becomes activated, then the person will not spread the virus. Because one of the problems is that when you are immune against the virus, you don't get the virus, you are immune, you are healthy, but you may still spread the virus from nasal secretion.
Okay, now let's take a look at the situation of COVID-19 elsewhere in the world. Europe continues to struggle with the pandemic, several countries on that continent reporting new deaths and infections. Russia recorded 432 deaths and more than 16,000 cases, a slight drop from the day before. Germany logged 231 deaths and 8,600 infections in one day. That's down from the figures reported on Saturday. Elsewhere in Europe, the situation in the UK and the Netherlands remained grim. Dutch authorities reported more than 4,000 new cases, pushing the caseload to 1 million since the COVID-19 was first detected there. Britain also reported more than 18,000 new infections and 828 deaths. The UK has the highest COVID-related deaths and the second highest infection cases in Europe. Elsewhere in the world, COVID-19 clusters on U.S. military bases in South Korea are raising the alarm with the public and activists. Many are concerned the virus is being spread from U.S. service members to the general South Korean population. Our correspondent Frank Smith has the story.
U.S. military personnel deploying from the American mainland to bases abroad are bringing COVID-19 with them. In South Korea, more than 700 United States Forces Korea members have tested positive for the virus, raising alarms in South Korea.
Since Americans value individual freedom and personal liberty, they have tendencies to not adhere to South Korean quarantine guidelines. Therefore, in the case of Pyeongtaek, living with the U.S. military, there is a high risk of exposure to coronavirus.
U.S. Forces Korea soldiers have repeatedly flouted local COVID-19 precautions, including holding a large maskless party. In January, U.S. bases here issued shelter-in-place orders because of COVID-19 cluster outbreaks.
The U.S. Forces Korea Camp Humphreys said in a February 1st press release that less than 1% of its active duty troops had tested positive for COVID-19. If we compare that to how South Korea is dealing with the virus, it's 10 times more likely for a U.S. soldier on a military base here to have COVID-19 than someone in the general South Korean population.
U.S. forces here have begun administering the vaccine, although new cases continue to arrive on almost a daily basis.
It seems that it is necessary to thoroughly manage corona-confirmed patients through testing before entering Korea, and more thorough management measures should be implemented not only for the U.S. military, but also for South Korean employees on the U.S. base who have a lot of contact with people.
Meanwhile, South Korea continues to experience hundreds of new cases each day, with the rollout of a vaccine set to begin here this month. Frank Smith, Pyeongtaek, South Korea.
First mass trial burial of Izzedi Kurtz, killed by Daesh terrorists in northern Iraqi town of Sinjar 7 years ago, has been held in a local village. Amid tight security, relatives of the victims carried more than 100 coffins during the ceremony attended by official delegations and civil society organizations. In 2014, more than 3,000 Izzedis were killed and some 7,000 women and girls were abducted and sexually abused by Daesh in Iraq. The UN denounced the onslaught as genocide. The first exhumations of mass graves began in March 2019, led by a UN investigative team in collaboration with the Iraqi government. More than 80 mass graves have been discovered in the area. 19 of them have been dug up. Now, people have hit the streets across Myanmar to denounce the recent military coup d'etat that ousted the de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi. People took to the streets in different cities, including the largest city, Yangon. The protests there took place for a second day in a row. So far, the demonstrations have largely been peaceful. People want the release of Suu Kyi and other officials detained by the military. The army seized power on Monday over vote fraud in November general elections that Suu Kyi's party won by a landslide. It also announced a one-year state of emergency and put restrictions on the internet. Those restrictions have been removed. The coup in Myanmar has drawn widespread international criticism. Several Palestinian rights groups have praised the International Criminal Court for its decision to launch an investigation into Israeli war crimes in the occupied territories. In a joint statement, the groups, including Al-Haq, Al-Mizan Center for Human Rights, and the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, called the ruling a landmark decision. They stress that immediate action must be taken by the court to ensure justice and accountability for the victims. The ICC ruling says The court has jurisdiction to investigate the situation in the Palestinian territories occupied by Tel Aviv in 1967. That's the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, including East Jerusalem Al-Quds. The Israeli Prime Minister has rejected the ruling as pure anti-Semitism. Now, this is while the Palestinian leadership has welcomed that decision by the ICC, clearing the way for a chief prosecutor to open a war crimes probe into Israeli military actions on the Palestinian land. Mona Kandil has a report.
The Palestinian leadership has praised the International Criminal Court for its ruling that it has jurisdiction in the Palestinian territories, allowing its chief prosecutor, Fatou Ben Souda, to investigate Israeli atrocities, despite fierce objections from Tel Aviv. Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammad Ishtayi said the decision is a victory for justice, humanity, and freedom, and for the blood of the victims, namely the Palestinians and their families. The Palestinian Foreign Ministry also praised the ruling and said it's ready to cooperate with the ICC's prosecutor if an investigation is launched.
We urge the International Court and its chief prosecutor to immediately launch an investigation into Israeli war crimes against the Palestinian people. We have already filed several legal complaints against Israel with the ICC. We are now ready to carry out every possible effort to see Israeli military officials and settlers being prosecuted for their crimes.
The ICC's ruling, however, has angered the Israeli regime, as its Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, dismissed the ruling as a political tribunal, accusing the ICC for being a political body and not a legal institution. Israel has not joined the International Criminal Court, but the Palestinian Authority is a signatory since 2015. This means the ICC's mandate is to prosecute people, not countries, including those from states that are not signatories, and in this case, Israeli leaders, military officials, and soldiers who are accused of carrying out crimes against Palestinians.
I doubt that that will make such a difference in Israel, because if we know the nature of Israel, and it's based on violence, based on the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people and grabbing the land of Palestine, because of that, I don't think that will make a big difference for the Israeli policies in the region.
The Palestinians have asked the court to look into Israeli crimes during its 2014 war against Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip, as well as Israel's construction of illegal settlements in the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. The ICC's decision paves the way for the tribunal's prosecutor to open a war crime investigation. But the main question lingering in mind is that will the U.S., which has furiously condemned the court, allow prosecution of Israeli officials and forces over their crimes committed in the Palestinian territories? Mona Kandil, occupied Ramallah.
And that's the end of this broadcast from Tehran.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of life.
listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 7th, 2021. I'm Atefa Erfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. February 10th marks the 42nd anniversary of Iran's 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran. This victory ended a generation of U.S.-installed tyranny that deprived Iranians of their fundamental rights. Iran regained control over its sovereign independence and natural resources, and the U.S. no longer able to plunder them. For Iran and its people, there is no turning back to control by a repressive foreign power and its installed puppet regime. The victory of the Islamic Revolution of the Iranian people triumphed over the oppressive Pahlavi regime and put an end to 2,500 years of tyranny and oppression for good. The Islamic Revolution was undoubtedly the most important event in the contemporary world and the 20th century. The victory of the Islamic Revolution has had deep impact on different aspects of the Iranian people's life. This revolution enjoys characteristics and principles that have their roots in Islam. Characteristics like self-sacrifice, justice, and a struggle against oppression. So, congratulations on the 42nd anniversary of the victory of Islamic Revolution to all freedom-seeking and justice-seeking people around the world. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. As you may know, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. However, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. So please be patient until the disease is controlled around the world. Then we in IRIB English Radio can get back on track and send you the souvenirs of our radio and also QSL cards. And here, I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Toshio Shibata from Japan, Konstantin Lozgin from Russia, and Rafiqul Islam from Bangladesh. Toshio, Konstantin, and Rafiqul Islam, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters, Most of them are actually congratulation message on the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during our program I will read their emails and letters. Here we have an email from Hey Mercia from the Philippines, one of our regular listeners. Also, we have an email from Toshio Shibata from Japan. Mr. Jayant Chakrabarty from India has also sent us an email. From Italy, we have an email from Pastorino Gianni. And from Tausif Abbas from Pakistan has also sent us an email. Thanks a lot, dear listeners. After a short break, I will be back with all these kind messages. Welcome back. First of all, we have an email from Hey Mercia from the Philippines. Hey Mercia is, as I said, is one of our regular listeners who says, Dear IRIB, I would like to congratulate a happy 42nd anniversary of 1979 revolution. I would say that the revolution was a prelude of something big to happen for the next decades. I'm so glad that Iran, after 1979 revolution, no longer suffered from the U.S. imperialism and a corrupt regime. First of all, salam and greetings to you, Hey Mercia, from the Philippines, and thank you very much for writing this congratulation message to IRIB English Radio. Yes, in 1979, after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Iranians got rid of U.S. imperialism and any dependency, and the victory of this revolution became the source of inspiration for all freedom-seeking and justice-seeking people and countries around the world. So, congratulations on the 42nd anniversary of the victory of Islamic Revolution to all freedom-seeking and justice-seeking people around the world. Thank you again, Hey Mercia from the Philippines. Write to us soon. We wish you all the best. Also, from Japan, we have an email from Toshio Shibata. Toshio Shibata says, Hello, dear friends at IRIB English Radio. I would like to send you a report on the reception of medium wave broadcast here in Tokyo, Japan. Could you please check the report and the recording and let me know if it was IRIB broadcast? Best regards and take care. Salam and greetings to you, Toshio Shibata from Japan, and lots of gratitude for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. It seems to me that you've already joined IRIB English Radio listeners. Welcome. Yes, we received the report and the recording, and so please accept our deepest thanks for them. Toshio Shibata from Japan, please tell us which programs you like the best. Tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Thanks again. Toshio Shibata from Japan. Dear friends, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, one of our regular listeners, has sent us a congratulation message on the victory of 1979 revolution, Islamic Revolution of Iran. And this is such a long letter, actually email. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India says, The 1979 revolution has been a watershed event not only for the proud and heroic Iranian people, but also a glorious chapter in the annals of world history. The Iranians had showed the world that a determination can take on the mightiest forces of imperialism and exploitation for consolidating its national interest and honor. The opportunist West has always been after Iran's rich oil resources, so they had supported a puppet autocratic monarchy of Mohammad Reza Shah Pahlavi to serve their nefarious goals. However, the alert Iranians, led by their charismatic leader, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, with popular support from the students, men and women, thwarted these evil designs and fought successfully for safeguarding national sovereignty and independence. This dramatic event of 1979 shook the world and ushered the birth of the Islamic Republic, voted by a national referendum. After passing through 42 years of glorious achievements in different vital sectors, Iran has taken its rightful place in the Committee of Nations. It is a strong nation and has a strong voice to be heard by the rest of the world. However, as Iranians celebrate this happy occasion, they should not be complacent. Danger still lurks from many quarters to destabilize and derail the fruits of development achieved since the advent of the revolution. Economic sanctions have been imposed to impede the country's development. However, the world today respects a strong Iran that is fully capable to defend itself from any external aggression. The revolution has paved the way for pragmatic and progressive ideas leading to a profound change in the life of its citizens. The revolution of 1979 has taught the Iranians to support and defend the oppressive people of the world and to uphold and promote international law of peace and justice. Salam and greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarti from India, and please accept our warmest and deepest thanks for writing such a thoughtful and great email to IRIB English Radio. Yes, the victory of Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979 ended a generation of U.S.-installed tyranny that deprived Iranians of their fundamental rights. Iran regained control over its sovereign independence and natural resources, the U.S. no longer able to plunder them. For Iran and its people, there is no turning back to control by a repressive foreign power and its installed puppet regime. Iranian sovereign independence threatens U.S. imperial interest by encouraging and inspiring other nations under its yoke to break free. Jayanta Chakrabarti from India, again, thank you for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon, and congratulations on the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran to all justice-seeking and freedom-seeking people around the world. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters and congratulation messages from around the world. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. From Pakistan, we have an email from Tausif Abbas. Tausif Abbas says, greetings and congratulations on the occasion of the 42nd anniversary of the Islamic Revolution in Iran to you all. What impresses me about your revolution is that how one individual changed the whole dynamics of the West Asia region and the world in general. How selflessness of the leader can achieve such a success and can result in ousting of dictators and oppressors. The outstanding features of Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, in my opinion, were selflessness, the vision, the spirituality, the humbleness to others, kindness, and many other virtues. Salam, Tawseef Abbas from Pakistan, and warm thanks to you for writing such a thoughtful message to IRIB English Radio. And again, congratulations on the 42nd anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution to all justice and freedom-seeking people from around the world. Thank you again for writing this congratulation message to IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. Write to us soon. Tawseef Abbas from Pakistan. Also from Italy, we have an email from Pastorino Gianni from Italy. Pastorino Gianni from Italy says, greetings from Andorra, Italy. I'm receiving with great pleasure your program. I would be happy to receive your QSL card. Thank you in advance and best regards. Salam and ciao, Pastorino Gianni from Italy. And I do express my appreciation to you for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. We are glad that you're satisfied with IRIB English Radio broadcast. As you said, you're receiving it with pleasure. We're so committed, we in IRIB English Radio, we are so committed to our role in providing the best quality of programs and broadcasts to our dear listeners around the world. Thank you again, Pastorino Gianni from Italy, for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Write to us soon. Dear listeners, the time tells me we have to skip to the next part of our program, that is today's interview, which is conducted with one of our dear listeners. Stay tuned.
Well, my name is Christopher Lewis. I live in the United Kingdom, in the West Midlands in England. My hobbies include, of course, shortwave listening and listening to other broadcasts from different parts of the world. I also enjoy reading and growing vegetables, gardening, all these different hobbies. And I have to say that shortwave listening is probably my best out of all of these. But in general, I've been reading about the Islamic Revolution quite in depth over the past couple of years. I'm still absorbing lots of information about it, and I'd just like to read some of my personal impressions that I've gathered from reading various sources on the internet and also from books. Basically, the revolution created high moral values in Iranian society. It created a sense of self-respect, and it's also an example to other nations of how society can live together peacefully. The revolution also represented the Iranian ideals and brought them forward. It was also a protest against ancient imperialistic influences as well. And going further on, it also created and brought forward Iran's freedom from oppressive regimes. And it also is an inspiration to a lot of people around the world who are repressed. It also shows the world and proves to the world that Iran, of course, is not dependent on any other nations for its survival. And Imam Khomeini brought into reality all that the Iranian people had hoped for. It's created Iran as a well-functioning nation and has also enabled the founding of good relations with many nations around the world who value the same high moral standards. And I think that it's most important that we create sound understanding of each other's cultures and also improve education about culture, expelling any myth and misunderstanding that can be created by the most part by mass media. Well, I think from my point of view, and people of similar thinking, that the Iranian revolution has proved that you don't have to be bossed around by any other organization. You don't have to be told how to live. It's sort of like a shining beacon to peoples, you know, around the world, not just in Europe, but in other countries of the world. It's proved that it's a strong power and it's a sovereign nation. It's just very, very encouraging.
And here we wrap up this week's edition of Listener's Special. Keep in touch and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is Bahman, the month which reminds us of love and empathy.
Art in light of Islamic revolution. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, today is the 8th day of the 10-day dawn, which marks the period in which the Islamic revolution of the Iranian people triumphed over the oppressive Pahlavi regime and put an end to 2,500 years of tyranny and oppression for good. The Islamic revolution was undoubtedly the most important event in the contemporary world and the 20th century. The victory of the Islamic Revolution has had deep impact on different aspects of Iranian people's life. This revolution enjoys characteristics and principles that have their roots in Islam. Characteristics like self-sacrifice, justice, and a struggle against oppression. In view of this, it has affected art too. Impressed by the Islamic Revolution, Iranian artists have created works that reflect pure humane values. The Islamic Revolution directed artistic works toward divine and humane values. No doubt, one of the important aspects of this revolution has been to train individuals who are in pursuit of perfection and sublimity not merely for themselves, but for their fellow humans and the entire humanity. In view of this, mention can be made of painters like Ali Fazirian and Mahmoud Farshchian, filmmakers like Ebrahim Hatamikia, Majid Majidi, Kamal Tabrizi, Narges Abyar, Abul Qasem Talebi, and Sayed Reza Mir Karimi, poets like late Hamid Sabzevari, Sayed Ali Musavi Garmarudi, and writers like Sayed Mehdi Shojai. Cinema is surely among the most important branches of the art of the Islamic Revolution. This art has been known overseas as the first Iranian art. In fact, the Iranian cinema has gone through ups and downs since 1900, yet it gained momentum after the year 1979. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, little by little, talented forces started working in playing in films, which differed much with the films made in Hollywood. Thus, cinema in Iran ushered in a very new era in which sexuality had no place and almost all works pursued lofty values. The most outstanding theorist in the field of cinema and media was martyr Sayed Murtaza Avini. Avini was a director of documentaries who had unique views on art, cinema, and media. He described the art of the Islamic Revolution as follows. The art of the Islamic Revolution takes the format and material of the Western art, but will give it a new spirit and image. Eventually, it will be distinct from the Western art in terms of material and format. Then, in the next phases, it will try to create changes in the material and formats of art in compliance with its own spirit and commitment. Martyr Avini considered cinema as a medium to communicate concepts correctly. He has indeed founded the Islamic and revolutionary cinema. He has materialized the features of the Islamic art, namely commitment, human look, attaining the cognizance of God, and struggling against falsehood. One of the most distinct features of art after the victory of Islamic Revolution is paying attention to family and preserving the dignity and status of women. The pre-revolution cinema was an immoral arena where few women dared to enter it. But the trend changed a lot after the Islamic Revolution. Today, there are numerous actresses who have catapulted to fame both in Iran and abroad. Moreover, a considerable number of women have entered in other cinematic domains to work as writers of scripts, directing, and production. There are few cinematic events in the world where there is no work of Iranian filmmakers. Some of the Iranian filmmakers and actors have got global prize too. Iran's cinema gained Oscar reward in 2007 for the first time with the film Children of Heaven. And 12 years later, it got the same reward with the film Separation of Nader from Simin. This year, Iranian filmmaker Majid Majidi's film The Sun has participated in the event with Ruhollah Zamani as the adolescent star of the film. Among other prominent filmmakers after the Islamic Revolution, mention can be made of Cyrus Alvand, and Dariush Mehrjoui, who have created good works. In short, the cinematic art after the Islamic Revolution has got rid of the yoke of immorality and instrumental view on women, although there is a long way to go yet. Young filmmakers have also made precious works in recent years. Among them, one can name Mohammad Hossein Mahdavian and Bahram Tabakoli.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 41 meters 7300 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and IranSat or BAT 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the Hadith of Hisham, we have reached the third section, or the third year, Hisham. In this section, the Imam, alayhi salam, the Imam Kadhim, alayhi salam, mentions eight verses of the Holy Quran, all that end with a verb that is derived from the root word of aql. For example, ya aqilun, ta aqilun, again, using the plural form, or the form that indicates a lot of people. So in this certain section, or in this section, the Imam is telling Hisham that these verses, eight of them, obviously we will not go through all eight of them, we do not have the time to do that, that these verses that I hear from the Holy Quran, and what is beautiful about this tradition, it is like a topical exegesis of the Holy Quran, that we see that the Imam himself has brought a certain subject, has brought verses from the Holy Quran explaining that subject, as we call it tafsir al-mawdu'i, or a subject-wise explanation of the Holy Quran. So if someone had to ask, you know, where does this come from? Because someone could ask that, no, the Imam Kadhim alayhi salam was one who actually did this. This some of the, someone could argue that from this tradition that he gave to Hisham. So the Imam says, oh Hisham, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made such verses a guide for people. Verses here means the verses of the Holy Quran. To know him, by knowing that there is someone managing their affairs, and that he is that someone. That these verses are showing that, you know, don't think that everything is just running by itself automatically. No,